This is the reading for July 12th, Proverbs chapter 1. These are the wise words of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. They teach wisdom and self-control. They will help you understand wise words. They will teach you how to be wise and self-controlled, and will teach you to do what is honest and fair and right. They make the uneducated smarter and give knowledge and sense to the young. Wise people can also listen and learn. Even smart people can find good advice in these words. Then anyone can understand wise words and stories, the words of the wise and their riddles. Knowledge begins with respect for the Lord, but fools hate wisdom and self-control. My child, listen to your father's teaching and do not forget your mother's advice. Their teaching will be like flowers in your hair or a necklace around your neck. My child, if sinners try to lead you into sin, do not follow them. They will say, "Come with us. Let's ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent people just for fun. Let's swallow them alive as death does. Let's swallow them whole as the grave does. We will take all kinds of valuable things and fill our houses with stolen goods. Come join us and we will share with you stolen goods." My child, do not go along with them. Do not do what they do. They are eager to do evil and are quick to kill. It is useless to spread out a net right where the birds can see it. But sinners will fall into their own traps. They will only catch themselves. All greedy people end up this way. Greed kills selfish people. Wisdom is like a woman shouting in the street. She raises her voice in the city squares. She cries out in the noisy street and shouts at the city gates. "You fools, how long will you be foolish? How long will you make fun of wisdom and hate knowledge? If only you had listened when I corrected you, I would have told you what's in my heart. I would have told you what I am thinking. I called, but you refused to listen. I held out my hand, but you paid no attention. You did not follow my advice and did not listen when I corrected you. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will make fun when disaster strikes you, when disaster comes over you like a storm, when trouble strikes you like a whirlwind, when pain and trouble overwhelm you. Then you will call to me, but I will not answer. You will look for me, but you will not find me. It is because you rejected knowledge and did not choose to respect the Lord. You did not accept my advice and you rejected my correction. So you will get what you deserve. You will get what you planned for others. Fools will die because they refuse to listen. They will be destroyed because they do not care. But those who listen to me will live in safety and be at peace without fear of injury. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Abijah became the king of Judah during the 18th year Jeroboam was king of Israel. Abijah ruled in Jerusalem for 3 years. His mother was Maacah, daughter of Uriel from the town of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah led an army of 400,000 capable soldiers into battle, and Jeroboam prepared to fight him with 800,000 capable soldiers. Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim in the mountains of Ephraim and said, "Jeroboam and all Israel, listen to me. You should know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave David and his sons the right to rule Israel forever by an agreement of salt. But Jeroboam, son of Nebat, one of the officers of Solomon, David's son, turned against his master. Then worthless, evil men joined Jeroboam against Rehoboam, Solomon's son. He was young and didn't know what to do, so he could not stop them. Now you people are making plans against the Lord's kingdom, which belongs to David's sons. There are many of you, and you have the gold calves Jeroboam made for you as gods. You have thrown out the Levites and the Lord's priests, Aaron's sons. You have chosen your own priests, as people in other countries do. Anyone who comes with a young bull and 7 male sheep can become a priest of idols that are not gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God. We have not left him. The priests who serve the Lord are Aaron's sons, and the Levites help them. They offer burnt offerings and sweet-smelling incense to the Lord every morning and evening. They put the bread on the special table in the temple, and they light the lamps on the gold lampstand every evening. We obey the command of the Lord our God, but you have left him. God himself is with us as our rulers. His priests blow the trumpet to call us to make war against you. Men of Israel, don't fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors, because you won't succeed. But Jeroboam had sent some troops to sneak behind Judah's army. So while Jeroboam was in front of Judah's army, Jeroboam's soldiers were behind them. When the soldiers of Judah turned around, they saw Jeroboam's army attacking both in front and back. So they cried out to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a battle cry. When they shouted, God caused Jeroboam and the army of Israel to run away from Abijah and the army of Judah. When the army of Israel ran away from the men of Judah, God handed them over to Judah. Abijah's army struck Israel so that 500,000 of Israel's best men were killed. So at that time, the people of Israel were defeated and the people of Judah won because they depended on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Abijah's army chased Jeroboam's army and captured from him the towns of Bethel, Jeshanah, and Ephron, and the small villages near them. Jeroboam never became strong again while Abijah was alive. The Lord struck Jeroboam, and he died. But Abijah became strong. He married 14 women and was the father of 22 sons and 16 daughters. Everything else Abijah did, what he said and what he did, is recorded in the writings of the prophet Iddo. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Abijah died and was buried in Jerusalem. His son Asa became king in his place, and there was peace in the country for 10 years during Asa's time. Asa did what the Lord his God said was good and right. He removed the foreign altars and the places where gods were worshipped. He smashed the stone pillars that honored other gods, and he tore down the Asherah idols. Asa commanded the people of Judah to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his teachings and commandments. He also removed the places where gods were worshipped and the incense altars from every town in Judah. So the kingdom had peace while Asa was king. Asa built strong walled cities in Judah during the time of peace. He had no war in these years because the Lord gave him peace. Asa said to the people of Judah, "Let's build up these towns and put walls around them. Let's make towers, gates, and bars in the gates. This country is ours because we have obeyed the Lord our God. We have followed him, and he has given us peace all around." So they built and had success. Asa had an army of 300,000 men from Judah and 280,000 men from Benjamin. The men from Judah carried large shields and spears. The men from Benjamin carried small shields and bows and arrows. All of them were brave fighting men. Then Zerah from Cush came out to fight them with an enormous army and 300 chariots. They came as far as the town of Marishah. So Asa went out to fight Zerah and prepared for battle in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. Asa called out to the Lord his God, saying, "Lord, only you can help weak people against the strong. Help us, Lord our God, because we depend on you. We fight against this enormous army in your name. Lord, you are our God. Don't let anyone win against you." So the Lord defeated the Cushites when Asa's army from Judah attacked them, and the Cushites ran away. Asa's army chased them as far as the town of Gerar. So many Cushites were killed that the army could not fight again. They were crushed by the Lord and his army. Asa and his army carried many valuable things away from the enemy. They destroyed all the towns near Gerar because the people living in these towns were afraid of the Lord. Since these towns had many valuable things, Asa's army took them away. Asa's army also attacked the camps where the shepherds lived and took many sheep and camels. Then they returned to Jerusalem.
Chapter 15.
Some men came from Judea and started to teach believers that people can't be saved unless they are circumcised as Moses' teachings require. Paul and Barnabas had a fierce dispute with these men. So Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were sent to Jerusalem to see the apostles and spiritual leaders about this claim. The church sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. As they were going through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told the whole story of how non-Jewish people were turning to God. This story brought great joy to all the believers. The church in Jerusalem, the apostles, and the spiritual leaders welcomed Paul and Barnabas when they arrived. Paul and Barnabas reported everything that God had done through them. But some believers from the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "People who are not Jewish must be circumcised in order to follow Moses' teachings." The apostles and spiritual leaders met to consider this statement. After a lot of debating, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know what happened some time ago. God chose me so that people who aren't Jewish could hear the good news and believe. God, who knows everyone's thoughts, showed that he approved of people who aren't Jewish by giving them the Holy Spirit as he gave the Holy Spirit to us. God doesn't discriminate between Jewish and non-Jewish people. He has cleansed non-Jewish people through faith as he has cleansed us Jews. So why are you testing God? You're putting a burden on the disciples, a burden neither our ancestors nor we can carry. We certainly believe that the Lord Jesus saves us the same way that he saves them, through his kindness." The whole crowd was silent. They listened to Barnabas and Paul tell about all the miracles and amazing things that God had done through them among non-Jewish people. After they finished speaking, James responded, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has explained how God first showed his concern by taking from non-Jewish people those who would honor his name. This agrees with what the prophet said. Scripture says, 'Afterwards I will return. I will set up David's fallen tent again. I will restore its ruined places again. I will set it up again so that the survivors and all the people who aren't Jewish over whom my name is spoken may search for the Lord,' declares the Lord. He is the one who will do these things that have always been known. So I've decided that we shouldn't trouble non-Jewish people who are turning to God. Instead, we should write a letter telling them to keep away from things polluted by false gods, from sexual sins, from eating the meat of strangled animals, and from eating bloody meat. After all, Moses' words have been spread to every city for generations. His teachings are read in synagogues on every day of worship." Then the apostles, the spiritual leaders, and the whole church decided to choose some of their men to send with Paul and Barnabas to the city of Antioch. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, who were leaders among the believers. They wrote this letter for them to deliver. "From the apostles and the spiritual leaders, your brothers, to their non-Jewish brothers and sisters in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, dear brothers and sisters, we have heard that some individuals who came from us have confused you with statements that disturb you. We did not authorize these men to speak. So we have come to a unanimous decision that we should choose men and send them to you with our dear Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul have dedicated their lives to our Lord, the one named Jesus Christ. We have sent Judas and Silas to report to you on our decision. The Holy Spirit and we have agreed not to place any additional burdens on you. Do only what is necessary by keeping away from food sacrificed to false gods, from eating bloody meat, from eating the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual sins. If you avoid these things, you will be doing what's right. Farewell." So the men were sent on their way and arrived in the city of Antioch. They gathered the congregation together and delivered the letter. When the people read the letter, they were pleased with the encouragement it brought them. Judas and Silas, who were also prophets, spoke a long time to encourage and strengthen the believers. After Judas and Silas had stayed in Antioch for some time, the congregation sent them back to Jerusalem with friendly greetings to those who had sent them. Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch. They and many others taught people about the Lord's word and spread the good news. After a while, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back to every city where we spread the Lord's word. We'll visit the believers to see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along. However, Paul didn't think it was right to take a person like him along. John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. Paul and Barnabas disagreed so sharply that they parted ways. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed to the island of Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left after the believers entrusted him to the Lord's care. Paul went through the provinces of Syria and Cilicia and strengthened the churches.